This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. My company today is my producer. He's over in the booth. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you.
Let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM on the radio dial. Don't forget, though, about the Odyssey app. If you're away from your radio and you want to keep listening to all the content here at the station, you can do so downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. Go ahead and put that on your mobile device. Ooh, boy. Always a fun day, George, the first day of the NCAA tournament. We will, of course, discuss that, but we're probably going to save a decent amount of that until the second hour. So for those that have been away, the updates are as follows. For all those that were worried about Auburn having to play Louisville in Lexington with all the Louisville fans, well, fear not. Creighton made quick work of that. Louisville was never competitive, and Creighton moves on in that one. Purdue, we actually saw this was one of the bigger line jumps, I feel like, today with High Point. A lot of money in action, I guess, coming in on High Point, but Purdue prevailed, wins by 12. They win in cover. So Creighton was the outright dog. They win outright, and now we have Montana and Wisconsin with about 9:44 remaining in the second half. Wisconsin leads 68-52. I believe it closed that line with 16.5, so you're right there, Sweatbox City. Welcome to the NCAA tournament. And then at the half, Houston all over SIU Edwardsville, 52-24. I believe that line was around 26, 27. So right now, Houston outside the number. But Auburn and Alabama State have just tipped off. You can either get 32.5 with Alabama State, or you can lay 32.5 with Auburn. And then starting up a little bit later, I believe we have, I used to have the whole thing memorized. So Providence will be up next, but it's not the Providence that we all want, which is tonight. Where we have the bottom half of the West region, so where we have Kansas, Arkansas, as well as Omaha and St. John's.
St. John's.
There we go. That's the one that everyone's got their attention on. So coming up next will be McNeese and Clemson. You can watch that one on True TV. Right after that will be VCU-BYU. We have UGA-Gonzaga at 3:30 our time, and then that closes out the early slate, and then we begin at 5:50 with the Vols taking on Wofford. But I think we've avoided it as long as possible. But we got to talk about last night.
Do we?
Well, it is.
It's not nothing, is my thing.
So I do fundamentally believe, as a city, we're too dramatic in the positive and the negative directions. Either way, we can either be too dramatic with our basketball. We have football brain. We treat every basketball game like you do football, where it's everything's an indictment. But I think at this point, I don't think you can ignore what we watched last night when the Grizzlies lost at Portland. And I think there are a few things at play. Number one, there's been this weird, I can't tell if it's an online narrative or whatnot, in which something has developed where there's a mindset of it's championship or bust with this team. And that never existed. And I do think it was important to note, because I said this last year. You do have a certain window with Ja, Jaren, and Dez, because Jaren's contract was going to be up after next year, and the way that Jaren's contract was constructed, it was unlikely that you'd be able to. The extension that you would offer him is not something he would select. Well, we've kind of gotten a little bit of a break here, in that Jaren either is going to likely win Defensive Player of the Year, or he's going to make an All-NBA team. Therefore, he will be eligible for an extension that the Grizzlies can offer and Jaren would accept. It can be the Supermax, doesn't have to be. The main thing, though, is
it opens that second bracket. Yeah,
it's the type of deal that he would accept. Mm-hmm. And so now that kind of now, I mean, at the same time, like he could get hurt, knock on wood, the next game, not play the 65 games. So he hasn't quite gotten to 65, but he's likely to get to 65 and to be award eligible. But this idea that there was something out there, like it was championship or bust, I don't know where that came from, because that was never a part of this season. And so I don't know if maybe it developed when the Grizzlies got off to the rocking start that they did, but I felt like I was pretty clear of, I think the Grizzlies' record, I said it in real time, the Grizzlies' record was more reflective of the schedule broke their way early.
Yeah.
Whether it be the softer part of the schedule, you got to see a lot of teams that were in flux, injuries, whatnot. Like the schedule worked their way. And so that was more of where they were in the standings. But we still saw the same issues, which was more times than not, wasn't exclusive. The Grizzlies went to Boston, won for the first time in a decade. Mm-hmm. But more times than not, when they went up against the good teams, they got beat. And oftentimes, they got beat convincingly. And the other thread that we started to see was when they would go up against physical teams, they'd get beat, a la the Rockets, a la the Clippers.
Yes.
But
Clippers, first ones that came to mind when you said that.
Yes, exactly.
That talent difference, like with the Rockets, you can say they can play and win in multiple ways with, you know, Van Vliet, Şengün, things like that. But the Clippers are purely, to me right now, that grind you down physical team that the Grizzlies struggle to deal with right now.
The Clippers make you as uncomfortable as the Suns make the Grizzlies comfortable.
Yeah.
Like when you watch the Suns game, it feels like you're watching like a scrimmage almost.
Or even the Timberwolves with the Grizzlies, for whatever reason.
Yes, the Timberwolves have a mental hurdle against the Grizzlies. Like they look under their bed and they see the Grizzlies. Like that's the way it works. But I think at this point, what was alarming to me about last night was the first time that I sat back and said, I don't know if Taylor Jenkins is long for this world.
Wow.
And I'm also in the camp of, like, I know online it's hot out there for Taylor Jenkins. And in general, I don't think some of the stuff that gets used against him is fair, but the number one responsibility of a coach is you have to have your team ready to play. Whatever that looks like, you can do scheme-wise, but in the end, we keep score, and you have to have your team ready to play. And these last two games in particular, I don't think anyone can say they looked ready to play. And the other issue is there's still kind of a question of, like, what type of coach is Taylor Jenkins? Yeah. So, for example, we know Kyle Shanahan is a scheme guy in the NFL. Kyle runs the offense, great scheme guy, runs good plays. Like, he's offense. Sean McVay, the offensive wizard.
Scheme guy.
Correct. Well, then you have someone.
Tomlin.
Tomlin is a culture guy.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh is a little weird. Harbaugh is a culture guy, and even though he doesn't call plays, he's still, like, he's still always going to be a quarterback. And a quarterback, at their heart, is always just going to be a scheme guy. But he is more in the culture. Dan Campbell, culture definitely guy. Culture guy. And so there's this question of, what is Taylor? Is Taylor a culture guy? And I think that's what most would fall back on and say, he is a culture guy.
But is he? I mean, from everything I've heard, and especially from, like, listening to him in interviews and a lot of his responses to questions, a lot of it tends to fall back on his basketball IQ, his defensive acumen, things like that, which, I mean, we know he can coach a defense, and that was one of the issues coming in is, well, we know he can coach a defense. It feels like the defense always performs well. What about the offense when the going gets tough?
Yeah, but, like, even when he was in Milwaukee, when they hired him, it wasn't like he was the quote-unquote defensive coordinator.
Sure.
He wasn't even the lead assistant. Like, he was, honestly, for the most part, he's a get-back coach. I'm not diminishing his role. He clearly, to be able to interview for an NBA job, he clearly had acumen.
Absolutely.
But, like, if you look at it this way, he's not in charge. You know, you hire people to come in and install a new offense. And, I mean, I suppose you can make the argument it is his defense, but I don't know if anyone wants to claim that right now.
Not right this second, no.
But one hallmark I have always thought about Taylor Jenkins' teams was you never really questioned effort.
Fair.
And, yeah, you could question end-of-game timeouts, give me the grease board, drawing up a play, stuff that I think oftentimes gets overvalued. You know, there was always questionable rotations, the amount of guys you play. There was stuff to legitimately criticize, but I don't think you could ever criticize how his teams played in terms of intensity. Like, they may get beat, but they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the Grizzlies right now, they ain't showing up. And I think this is where fans get a bad rap. Well, you don't know what you're looking at. Why don't you come do it? Hey, man. We have eyeballs.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it ain't the coach's copy. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. We all see. We are watching on TV. We're at the game. And it, to me, really stood out. The Phoenix game, when Cam Spencer and Lamar Stevens were playing. Two guys, one of which was on a two-way, another of which wasn't even on the team 2 weeks ago. Now it's probably been a month since he's been on the team. Yep. By the way, didn't have a job.
No, he was out of the league.
Correct. But when those two guys were on the floor, and you just saw, it's like, oh, that's what effort looks like.
Yeah.
That was alarming.
The only one that gives me that vibe, two guys, I should say. One of them I'm somewhat excluding because he got hurt early in the game last night. That's Brandon Clark. The only other guy that, to me, very consistently gives that type of energy is Scotty.
I want to put...
But that's activity, maybe not always.
Last night, I'm not... Scotty would be like the... If we have the team meeting, Scotty, you're dismissed.
Yeah, go wait in the hallway.
I would also argue Jaren. Last night was a bad night for Jaren, primarily because I think he got frustrated on the way the game was being officiated.
I don't disagree.
So, and Jaren has had a tendency to do this in his career, where he gets frustrated on the offensive end. It leads to bad fouls on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And so Jaren was in foul trouble for a lot of the night.
It was early in the third that he picked up his fourth.
Correct.
And fifth. So.
So Jaren's sitting there in foul trouble. But to me, it's just like, how many times do they just have to sit there and like watch somebody blow right by?
Look, there are some of these players or some of the players that I think are being put into bad situations or bad positions to me, namely the rookies. And again, this is we talked about this, I think, either a week or 2 weeks ago. You know, how much are we actually pinning on these rookies when it comes to the question of, okay, are they ready right this second to be putting in these type of big minutes in a big spot? Or do they need to, you know, be allowed to develop?
So there's...
Because the one for me that sticks out is Edie.
Well, the other issue is...
Not because of his size, but... You know.
And I'd mentioned this to Drew earlier today.
Yeah.
A buzzword that gets thrown around a lot is timeline. A team's timeline.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And the problem, in my opinion, is you have guys like Edie, Wells, Gigi...
Vince?
I guess you can throw Vince in there, but like they were counting on Vince to be a starter.
Yeah.
But the problem is those guys would probably benefit a lot more from being on bad teams and just playing. But the problem is the Grizzlies, when you have Ja, Jaren, and Dez in their mid to late 20s,
they're in a position to win.
It's go time.
Yeah.
And the other problem that I think fans have, and I think this is a justified complaint, what is the point of this exercise? Are we a development league?
Or are we a results league?
Because so much of what I think is frustrating people is the lack of consistency, where it feels like, are you still in the lab?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and I think the part, especially for Grizzlies fans, that makes it even more like that extra little bit of irritating is we're seeing other teams around the league that use a similar kind of thought process at like in the front office, draft well, develop, things like that, starting to have that level of success. And it's not because they're bringing in major free agents. It's because some of the free agents are those big tertiary pieces. Look at OKC.
Yeah.
To an extent, look at Cleveland. To an extent, look at Orlando, look at Detroit. Those are teams that are starting to take that next step. Of course, apart from health, I mean, some of those teams have had major injury issues. So have the Grizzlies, but those are those teams that are starting and feeling like they're ready to take that next step, whereas with the Grizzlies, it's almost like they're caught in neutral.
And they're not making themselves better. So
yeah,
a couple of those teams that you mentioned. So I'm going to set Detroit aside. Because I think Detroit was just trying to be competitive. They wanted, like, they had been so bad for so long. Like, that feels like an organization's like, we're cool being in the play-in. Like, we just want to see.
Yeah.
We're tired of having single-digit win seasons. Like, let's.
But they've also accumulated that talent, and they've.
Correct.
They've developed well.
But, like, let's take a look at OKC.
Sure.
So OKC makes the decision with Giddey that his lack of shooting on a team that doesn't have a ton of it,
mm-hmm.
we need to move this. And so what they end up doing is then their swing is Alex Caruso.
Good player.
What does Alex Caruso do? He defends!
Yeah.
What else did Oklahoma City have a problem with last year? They couldn't get a rebound. Big problem. Particularly against Dallas last year. They yes. couldn't get rebounds.
Lively 8.
Guess what? They signed Hartenstein. Rebound problem solved. The Grizzlies, like, let's take a look at what the ideas were coming into the season. All right? You hoped that Marcus Smart could be healthy.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. You end up attaching a first-round pick to get rid of him, and you send him to Basketball Siberia, a.k.a. the Wizards.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that wasn't personal to some level.
Maybe. I do also do put credence in the thought of, which we talked about Jaren's contract, okay, we need to move this money so when the summer does come.
I think it's a possibility. Now it seems that it's going to be a non-factor. Because like you're not going to if you're going to offer Jaren the extension mm-hmm. that he would sign, you're not going to rework his current deal because then you'd just be adding money for no reason next year.
Yeah.
Because Jaren's new contract wouldn't kick in until the following.
Yeah.
So it's either, but that until Wembanyama got hurt, that was
not part of the equation.
Correct.
Sure.
Although you can make the argument he was going to be all NBA.
It's a fair argument.
I'm not saying it's a nothing burger. I still don't believe that was the driving intention. I think the driving intention was we don't want him around anymore.
Possibly.
Okay, so then let's take a look at the other options. All right, Jake LaRavia, you make the decision, and I'm not going to relitigate this in the summer. In the summer, I thought it was a coin flip.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you could make a case to extend him, you could make a case to not extend him, and if you liked him, try to do the one-year re-sign. Like, I don't think it was clear you had to re-sign LaRavia, particularly when you consider they were up against the tax.
Sure.
So they made a choice. I don't necessarily hold that one against them. I'll swing back around to what you can hold against them in just a moment.
Yeah.
But this was what I was pulling my hair out. Last year, I do not think you could put any stock into anything that you watched with that team. They were not in competitive basketball games. Teams did not take them seriously. And that does not mean that you couldn't enjoy when G.G. Jackson had 38 on national TV and the moments we saw with him, Kenny, and Shaq. Like, but the other thing is, like, they basically made the decision, like, Vince Williams is our starter. Well, what happened to Vince last year also? He got hurt.
Yeah, it's...
And yes, it sucks that Vince got hurt, and it sucks that GG got hurt, and I think a large portion of how the season went for each of them has been more related to the injury than anything else, but it's also, it wasn't a slam dunk that those things were going to work.
No, I mean, and again, we're talking about players that, like you said, at the time, the Grizzlies were the bad team. The Grizzlies were the team in the position where we have these young players, we just need to plug them in. We need bodies. We need people who are actually going to put any type of product on the floor, and those two guys happen to be in that position, and those two guys happen to play pretty darn well. I think we can agree with that. In that spot,
yeah,
those guys played very well. That said, plugging them into a situation where you have Ja, where you have Dez, where you have expectation.
And a different role than what...
Very different role. They're not your primary pieces. They're going to be those secondary guys. Can they perform to the same level?
And, like, these are the risks. So now let's swing back to LaRavia.
Yeah.
I'm not going to retroactively hold it against them for not offering him an extension when in real time I thought it was a coin flip. Because I think you could have had a strong opinion, but I think it was possible also to have a counter opinion, and I thought both could be reasonable. So I'm not going to hold that against them. The problem, though, that I have is there's nothing in the rule book that says you have to trade him.
No, not at all.
And I understand, well, it's an expiring deal. Let's try to get something. Okay, are we still in the let's accumulate second-round picks? Like... There is a value during the season.
Yeah.
And essentially, what they said was, we've gamed this out, and we think he's going to get crowded out. But, sure would have been nice to have a safety net.
Yeah. In the inopportune
they
chance
made, they
that
made
other
this,
guys get hurt.
They made this decision with Kyle Anderson once upon a time. Kyle was an expiring deal, and they could have flipped him at the deadline and gotten something back. Now, it's also fair to point out Kyle was a much bigger part of the rotation than Laravia was, so I do acknowledge that, but no one had clearly stepped up and taken the role. Because I know everybody was, like, let's be clear, Jalen Wells has been a hit.
Yeah.
But what's happening is not a shocker.
No. This is the most basketball he's played probably in his life against the best competition he's played against in his life.
And far too often, rookies hit a wall. The rookie wall is a term for a reason. So, how about maybe having a little bit of a safety net?
And is it not, in a way, this might also be a bit unfair, in a way, but like you said, it's a safety net. Do we not think Laravia would have gotten more minutes when Santi got hurt?
I mean, he would have gotten more minutes.
He would have had to.
He would have gotten more minutes then. George, he would have gotten more minutes the last month.
Yeah.
You know why? Guy's been getting hurt.
Absolutely. And he's, my other big issue with it is for the people that are saying that he's been playing better with Sacramento than he is now. Wrong.
No, he played well this year.
He's been, that I think is, as a whole, he has had a very solid season as an individual player. Both teams, he's played well. He was one of the better defenders, especially on the perimeter for the Grizzlies when he was with us. And he chipped in offensively. What else do you really want from one of your bench guys?
Again, this idea that you had to get rid of him
is not
real. It's not true. It's a choice. Like, it was a choice to get rid of him.
Yep. Yep.
Now, the other thing that is frustrating, and rightfully so, is the amount of guys that are playing.
I was just looking at that from last night, and do I think some of... I think it would have been probably 11, either way.
Without Brandon getting hurt, because I think it was...
BC getting hurt, he played like 5 minutes.
And I'm throwing out, like, Bagley played garbage time, right?
So did Cam.
And Cam played garbage time.
Yeah.
But we're still talking about 11.
Yep.
And this is something that will... I mean, I do also acknowledge to a certain degree, like, this is a Taylor Jenkins philosophy, but I think that philosophy has to change when three of your guys make 70% of the salary cap. This idea that you can just be 10 deep, it doesn't work. And we're now getting to the point where you want to be seeing your team preparing for the playoffs. Does it feel to anyone out there like they are preparing for the playoffs? Because I don't even know. In the game, it's almost like, let's see what works.
It's,
guys, it's game 70.
Yep. I mean, it feels, and like, to be fair as well, and we've hashed this out throughout the season, we also, at least I do in a way, disagree with the thought process or the hope that we're going to hinge so much of the team's defensive and rebounding efforts to a true rookie. But, you know, and this is not me picking on anybody by any means, because they do rotate through these players and some perform well and some others not so well. But look at what Edie did last night. I mean, teams have started to game plan around, okay, when he's in the game.
Oh, it's just immediately pick and roll him.
Pick and roll, just like, yeah, get him outside of the paint, and then we can do whatever we want. He was a minus 19 in less than 15 minutes last night.
No, and then, I mean, the other part of last night is Klingon looked great. I mean, I know his final point number wasn't overwhelming, but watching the game, man, he made it tough.
Absolutely.
And, you know, then the other aspects of this, like, you know, teams are just realizing, basically what teams have recognized is when you play the Grizzlies, if you do X, they will do Y.
It's formulaic.
So basically what everyone's just trying to do is, all right, let's try to get a switch with a quick guard on Jaren and have him, and basically have him just get by with speed.
Yeah.
And it's a tough ask of Jaren. And then, like we saw with Scotty last night, it's like, I'm not picking on Scotty. I thought Scotty busted his ass last night. But Scotty, how many times do we have to watch a 7-footer on Scotty? If that is what your principles are, those are bad principles. It's like every time I can't stand it when football coaches ask, well, we had our H-back trying to block Myles Garrett. How'd you think that was going to go?
Genius.
Can't believe that. You know why forever the 49ers had success against the Rams? Because Kyle Shanahan said, they have Aaron Donald over there. We're going to put 4 hands on him.
Yep.
He's a game wrecker. With the Grizzlies, there's just no way that that can be. If that is what is the actual principles on paper, why is that in your playbook?
It just doesn't make, like, again, and this is no point against his effort and even his play. He played a pretty solid game last night. Pippen put up 18, you know, 6 boards, decent enough from the field percentage.
In the fourth quarter, you could tell. It's like he looked like the only one that was trying.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we're getting at is, if we're looking at a team right now that's supposed to be preparing for the playoffs, supposed to be in that stretch run, I understand guys are just coming back from injury. I think, funny enough, I actually think Aldama had one of the better games as well, but this is his first game back in what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just about,
yeah,
with a calf strain. If it's going to be him carrying you and Scotty putting in the most effort, that's not a great sign when, like you said, there are 12 games left in the regular season before the playoffs. The Grizzlies have a top 5 most difficult schedule remaining, and they're still jockeying for seeding.
Now, I also want to be entirely fair, because this is also true.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies with Ja Morant are 28-13.
Preach.
The Grizzlies without Ja Morant are 15-14. And it gets even exacerbated on a Monday night game where not only did you not have Ja, you didn't have Scottie Pippen. So there is a side to this where you go, you know, part of the reason why this feels bad is because they don't have their best player.
Absolutely.
And I get it. I'm not trying to litigate the Ja or Jaren. Like, no, everybody knows. Everybody knows what I mean.
We're not doing that. No.
But to tie it all up, the biggest reason why last night I really thought, oh, this might be it for Taylor Jenkins. Number one, let's be clear, he's probably hit the over. I mean, other than Pop, Spoelstra, Kerr, I think he's the longest tenured head coach.
That sounds about right. I mean,
how long's Ty Lue been in the Clippers?
Like a year or two.
So
I think it's only been, it hasn't been very long.
So he's clearly hit the over. And by the way, in that time frame, they have one playoff win, series win.
Yep.
And while I think they've done like a good job in the regular season, when your hallmark is a team looks a certain way and a team that plays hard and they no longer do that, the writing's on the wall. All right, yep. Let's talk about it with Eric. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine on the road. Eric, I guess let's start here. We've been talking about this show. How did you begin to describe what you were watching last night?
It was hard. I mean, you have those moments in an 82-game season, and obviously having done this for several years, you kind of try to take the good with the bad, but I don't know, man. Like it's a point where you're kind of like looking around going, yo, there's only 12 left. Like there's no time to find a groove. You've got to be there. And you look at the teams around the Grizzlies right now, and they are there. They are playing really well. The Rockets, you know, the Nuggets didn't look good last night, but they didn't have Jokic or Murray. And then, you know, the Lakers are obviously playing better since the acquisition of Luka, and you're just like, okay, no more time to wait to ramp things up. Like, this has got to happen now. And you know, that's the thing. I think that's the hardest thing for all of us around it is we know how good this team can be. We've seen it, but we haven't really seen it since the All-Star break, maybe other than the Miami game. And you're wondering, why is that? And I don't know. Jeffrey, I really don't know. Like, it just seems like some of the chemistry is not there right now. Some of the cohesion is not there right now. And that doesn't make a lot of sense because this is when it should be getting better. You look at a team like Portland who, and I said this, and I hate saying this because I think it's being negative towards the guys that are out, but they're almost benefiting by DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant.
No, I totally agree.
Like, you're getting guys that are hungry and wanting to play and young, Klingon, Kamara. You know, Simons is not necessarily young, but he's still not, you know, he's a guy that plays hard, Shaedon Sharpe. You're getting these guys that are playing their tails off. And that's the thing. Like, the Grizzlies aren't matching the energy right now. And I hate saying that because it sounds like you're being disparaging towards the team, but there's no way to dispute that. You can't tell me that the Grizzlies matched the energy of the Blazers last night. I saw it with my own eyes. They didn't, and it happens, but it's got to stop. I mean, it's got to stop if you want to, you know, achieve the things you're trying to achieve. And now it's like the sad thing is the question becomes now what's the goal? Just to stay out of the play-in? Are you still shooting for home court advantage? Before, you were shooting for who your opponent's going to be. You know, like, where can we make sure we get to 2 so we get the, you know, 7-8 winner, and maybe that's a team we match up better with. Now it's like, yo, we just got to hang on and start winning basketball games. And I always have believed that's one of the big keys coming down the stretch is you can't focus on look ahead and try to focus on who you're going to play and try to manipulate that. You do that and you can manipulate yourself right into a bad situation. So I just think right now you've got 48 minutes against the Clippers. And if you play like you have in the last couple ball games, it's not going to go well because they're playing really well right now. And again, I hate saying that stuff because it feels like you're taking shots, but I'm not trying to. But we got to be honest. Like, fans aren't dumb; they can see it. Like, you know, there's a disconnect. The leak out to Matisse Thybulle. You know, I had to say on the air that's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. There's no one on the team that would say that. Yeah, that was okay. It was just a missed assignment. No, that was unacceptable. You made a basket at the end of a quarter. You had the momentum going in, and you just stopped. And there was still time on the clock. And they get a layup, and it just looked like it deflated them. I don't know that it did. Just looking from across the way, it just looked like guys were after that were like, seriously, what are we doing? You know, to themselves. And at some point, my personal opinion, I'm not a coach, never played in the NBA, never coached in the NBA, don't understand what it's like to be at that level of athlete. However, at some point, my belief is you have to stop looking at the other guy and start looking in the mirror. All right, what did I do wrong there? All right, where was I? Where did I make a mistake? And everybody's got to hold themselves accountable first in anything in life, to me, you know, especially sports, before you can start trying to hold others accountable. You can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I was locked in, ready to go. I brought everything I had and this guy didn't. And now we're going to have a talk. I think that's also part of the problem. These guys have gotten along so well for so long, and now there's a little adversity, and you're not seeing that same cohesion. You're not seeing that group, you know, that it drives me insane when I see all this praise for the Oklahoma City Thunder doing group interviews and all this stuff. I'm like, we were doing that 3 years ago. 3 years ago when they made that first run to the first division title, everybody was in the interviews. Guys were clamoring around. They were taking pictures after games because they wanted to live that moment. And for whatever reason, that passion, that energy doesn't seem to be there the same way this year. And that's the thing everybody's trying to figure out right now. And if you don't figure it out, it's not going to be a very long postseason because other teams are playing with that passion and energy. And you got to ramp it up. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think
you're saying exactly what everyone's feeling, because I think there had been some type of discourse saying, like, well, I don't know when this all of a sudden became championship or bust, and that's leading to the frustrations. I really don't think that's what's upsetting fans.
No,
Eric,
it's not.
I think what's upsetting fans is exactly what you touched on, because I was going to ask you if it feels the same way in the building as it does on TV, because sometimes you'll be watching on TV and you just get a different perspective, and it's not the same as being in the building. But what frustrates fans is watching night after night these flat starts, the lack of hustle. Yeah. It's just all fans are really upset about is, like, it doesn't feel like the guys are playing hard.
It's not nobody. I don't think anybody. And I honestly don't believe anybody in the fan base believes it's championship or bust.
Yeah.
I don't believe that one bit. I believe people are like, hey, you're better than this. What are you doing?
Right.
And that's the frustrating thing. Like, you have more gas in the tank. What are you doing? And again, like, it's a grind, man. Like, I'm okay, like, accepting, hey, we're struggling. Like, we've had injuries. We've got things going on. Okay, I got it. But, you know, you still got to go play. And everybody goes through them. And so the funny thing is, and we were joking about this, I said, this kind of league is where you have a game like that where you come out frustrated, you're angry, and you go out your next game and you play some of your best basketball. That's how good these guys are. And, you know, maybe people will go, you're crazy. We see what's happening and we don't believe that. But I've seen it. Like, I've seen nights where you're like, oh, man, they're just not playing well, that they're in a rut, that, you know, what's going on, they got to figure it out. And it clicks. And hopefully it does. Because you only got 12 games left. And I still am not, like, everybody's going, oh, my gosh, I don't think that anybody thinking they're going to lose 12 straight games, that's crazy. anybody thinking they're going to win 12 straight games. That's probably crazy too. But they're going to win some games, and I think they're going to win enough where they're not in that play-in tournament because they're good enough to not be in that. And then they're going to have to figure it out. But you may not have home court advantage when you could have. You may draw a different opponent that you don't like that you didn't have to draw. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, you can't do anything about last night. And that's the thing. It's like anything in life. You can't go, boy, I wish I would have done this differently and have it magically happen, because it doesn't. And I think that's the frustration is, like, you don't get a, you're not getting another chance to, like, connect. You better connect now. And again, where does it begin? Where does it start? I know what I see in the, you know, locker room on the whiteboards. I know what I hear from the coaches telling the players. I know what the players tell each other. For whatever reason, something's just, you know, right now just a little off. And it's not that it doesn't happen to teams throughout a season. It does. So this is not unique to the Grizzlies, and this is not a, you know, just, oh my gosh, the world's on fire and we need to, you know, scrap everything. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it goes, you know, back to just you have to lock it in, and there is no time to, like, wait for a game to get rolling. You guys as a group, if you're talking about the Grizzlies, are a team like Portland is looking to make a statement victory about. A team like the Clippers are going, hey, they're ahead of us in the standings. We need this game. They are going to come in locked and loaded. A team like Utah, who has literally nothing to play for, other than moments like this at the end of the year that you go, hey, we need to test how good we are right now against a good team. A team that just beat us, that we should have beaten on their home court, in their opinion. I don't agree with that opinion, but that was their opinion. Well, and you better be ready for the first punch. If you're not, you're going to get staggered.
No, and I think that is also part of it, too. It's like, yes, we understand that these types of lulls happen throughout the season. Like, mm-hmm. we've all watched it. I think the biggest frustration is it doesn't feel like a lull. It just feels like a habit. You know what I mean? The way that it's starting. And
yeah.
And then the other complicating factor, because I think you ask a good question of, like, what is the goal? And it just makes me believe at this point, it's like, the goal seems to be, and you've always referenced this, like, we got to get healthy. And wherever we fall in the standings, we fall, but we got to be healthy. And, you know, maybe this is kind of like when Lionel made the decision, instead of pushing it, you know, give some guys some rest and be ready to go for the playoffs. Like, that does feel kind of like what the mindset is right now, where the standings are the standings, but if we don't get healthy, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, there's that angle. There's no doubt. I mean, you can make that case. Like, if you're not in...
I'm not saying I agree with it. It just seems like that's, to me, and I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot, it's like that.
No, you're not.
I know Taylor has mentioned that the goal is getting healthy, but it's almost like, you know, when you look at the combinations, like, it doesn't feel like the Grizzlies are, you know, cutting things down and trying to, you know, essentially dress rehearse for the playoffs. It is.
See who can still work together if guys aren't healthy, like what lineups work and what lineups don't. But the problem is you don't have that X mark next to your name. Like, they're clearly not. I mean, let's be honest. They're clearly not going to not be in the play-in tournament. That's a wrap. I mean, they're in. However, to stay out of the play-in tournament, you got to win 4 or 5 games to guarantee that. Minnesota losing last night was massive.
Helpful.
Massive. Absolutely huge. But you still have one with them. And, like, we were talking about it and just kind of going in before last night with then 13 left. And you go, okay, right now, 6 games that you feel like you should win. We counted them out. 3 or 4 games, you're going to have a really hard time. You're going to have to play your best basketball to beat those teams. High-level teams. Happens. Okay, there's 3 other ones that are on the swing. What do you do? You win those 3 games, and you go, obviously, 9-4 at the time, or, you know, whatever. It's not a question of, you know, are you in? It's a question of which top 4 seed are you?
Right.
Now you're talking about you lose one of those games you should win, and again, we're prisoners in the moment. The sky is falling. And I don't think it's that either. Because again, that's the enigmatic thing about this team. I was talking about it this morning with Rob. I don't remember being so confused by a group.
Yeah,
like there
I
are
agree.
Nights where they just look like world beaters. Like, I mean, they just boat raced Miami. Detroit just struggled with Miami. Miami is not awful, and the Grizzlies made them look bad. There was everything you wanted to see, and you're like, okay, that's what we're looking for, the blowout-type victory that they've had multiple times. And then you go to Sacramento, and you're not defending with the same energy, it seems like. And you come to Portland, and you're either not defending or you're not making the adjustments to what they're doing. And that's been something that's perplexed me all year long is – a 3-2 shell zone defense is designed, you know, in my opinion, to do one thing. And what that means for people, you got three guys at the top and they kind of half circle. They're basically taking away the perimeter threes, not the corner. The corner could be there if you move the ball. And yet we're not seeing that. And we did earlier in the year. And I think down the stretch, you look at last night and how that fourth. This is the first time the Grizzlies haven't scored 100 points all year. They're the only team that have been in that angle. And they got held under 100 last night because of their fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, what I saw was they were just trying to go one-on-one,
yeah.
Everybody. And that is not when they're at their best. And that's what I was, you know, I'm trying to say that on the air without being disrespectful to guys, but this team is at the best, their best, even, you know, obviously with a full roster, but even with Ja, when the ball moves more than a couple times, the one player they have that's a dynamic, break-you-down, dribble penetration guy is not healthy right now. The other guys are not that. Jaren can square guys up, but if you put a smaller guy that's a little quicker and then bring a double team, it's a problem. And so the 3-2 shell is you're going like, okay, they're taking this away. I mean, we don't see Luke Kennard get these wide open threes that they were getting because teams have made adjustments. You've seen the offense on tape now. It was very new when it came in. Even Draymond Green referenced that the first time they played the Warriors. Like, that's a different offense. And they figured some things out. But there are ways to counter that anyway. And for whatever reason, that's not happening. The assist numbers are way down comparatively to the early part of the year where the ball was constantly in motion. And you're seeing way more dribble penetration. Now, again, you get to playoff time. The everybody eats philosophy is hard to maintain and win because there's a lot of high ball screens. There's a lot of you got to let your guys, your stars go eat. And I'm all for that. That's the playoffs. You're not there right now. You're still in a place where you need to try to catch teams that are maybe playing their third game in four nights, other things, move the ball, keep up the tempo. And we said going in last night and on our pressure points, I said, look, this is a big lineup. You have got to secure the defensive glass. And they didn't.
No,
even on times you don't make that second chance opportunity, you still have to work harder on defense. And it affects both ends of the floor. You got to sweep that glass.
And because like that's one of the things that I've been thinking about, which is it's like, okay, why is it defensively, why does it look the way that it does? It's like last night I was wondering, is like, was it the struggles on the offense led into defense? Like, that's something that we've seen Jaren at times. Like, his frustration on the offensive end can lead to defense. It also didn't help that Jaren was in foul trouble. Like,
yeah,
to me, the biggest frustration was...
But how did he get in foul trouble?
Exactly. I thought Klingon...
You pushed him on to a small guard that's quick.
And I thought Klingon, like, I don't know, his final numbers of point scoring wasn't great. I thought he was outstanding. I mean, I thought defensively he made it really, really tough on the Grizzlies all night.
Yeah, he defended without fouling, well, at least in the referee's eyes.
Yeah, and
I think that's the other thing. When you're pushing, you know, we talked about the quicksand theory. When you're pushing, when you're grinding, when you're doing all that and you don't get a call and you feel like you should, it's magnified. But I'll tell you this. I think it's on the defensive end to start. My opinion is you're getting caught too deep helping on dribble penetration where, no offense, like
Jaren's there,
the
guys.
Flash is maybe the one guy ever created by a comic book that can actually get to the help in time to make sure, like, to actually impact the play. They're coming down to help so on such a long distance that there's no way they can recover. There are just too many open threes. And I'm not sure, like, again, last night, I'm not one to criticize coaching. It's not my job, and they know what they want to do. I just didn't understand the switching on a high ball screen and putting Jaron on a smaller guard that's quick, that doesn't have the size, but can get that half step. And then what happens? The big makes any contact. The referee's thinking the big hammered him.
Yep.
Foul. And it happened in Sacramento against Zach LaVine. It happened last night with Anfernee Simons. And you're like, dude, you can't put him on that island. And if he doesn't foul and plays it safe, then what do you have? You have Donovan Klingon posting up Scottie Pippen. I love Scottie. He is a dog defensively. He cannot guard a guy 7'2", 10 feet and in from the basket.
Yeah.
He can't. Not successfully. I mean, he might get one stop, but most of the time that's going to be a bucket. And give the Blazers credit. They lived by the three early because they were getting them, and then they were just pounding in the middle because you kept switching to take away the three. They've got to find that way they were playing at different times this year. But the numbers are the numbers. You've given up a lot of wide open threes, more than anybody in the league, according to what I was told.
I looked it up on the NBA.com closest defender. They have the highest frequency. They give up the highest frequency.
Wide open threes.
Wide open. Nobody within 6 feet.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.